If it weren't for thousands upon thousands of believers all around the world, I don't believe I'd be where I am today. I thank God for medical professionals. I thank God for friends like Nancy Wright-Bowl. And I thank God for Samaritan's Purse. But I thank God most of all that even in the midst of my pain and my suffering, God has given me a Christian response. And what I want to do today is to say, only to God be the glory. The Encouraging
Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today's message on a Christian's response to suffering is one that is filled with encouragement and insight from God's Word about how we can look at even the most difficult of situations of suffering in our own lives and the lives of others, and how we can be used of God to make a difference. We'd love to make a difference in your life today as well. If you'd like to speak with someone, pray with someone, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, folks, I want to tell you that today is going to be something that God is going to speak to hundreds upon hundreds of hearts, and the Lord is going to really bless you today. So I'm praying for you. I have been praying for you. We are praying for one another. There are so many people around us that are suffering. Have you noticed that? And those are people that you and I know. And in many cases, it's you and me. You're hurting. You're suffering. You're in pain. You're going through some area of great difficulty. And God is going to reach down and He's going to show you something today that only God can give to you. So I'm going to be right up front because I know there are thousands of people listening. Whether you're listening, whether you're at a bedside, whether you're in a nursing home, whether you're part of our brave military, maybe you're in a submarine right now and there's not a lot of place for you to go. Maybe you're on a military base and you're under duress, you're in a difficult circumstance and you are going through deep waters. How does a Christian respond to suffering? Does God have anything to say about it? So in Hebrews chapter 12, you need to have a look at this because this is God's word. Let me read this to you. Just listen to this. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So, Christians, believers, this is a Christian response. Listen to this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, in order, with a view to the fact that he knew we would stand firm, we would not grow weary. Through his sacrifice, through his suffering, we would not grow weary, nor would we become faint-hearted. Now, I just want to say this to you. I just want to not move this out the way. But I want to say to you, what we're reading here in chapter 12 is predicated what began in chapter 10 and verse 19. So in chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible said to us, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to be able to enter into the place where God is. Okay, so this is predicated on that. This statement here, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witness, is the emphatic conclusion to the statement that because Jesus Christ is my Savior, and because I can come directly to Him, And because God will do for me what I cannot do for myself, therefore, I need to know that I am surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses. And in this context, he's talking about a whole lot of people who are dead. We read about them in chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. He's saying, wait a minute, from the beginning of time, throughout the ages, there have been great men and women of faith who have since gone on to be with Jesus that bear testimony to the strength that only God can give, to the blessings that only God can give to those who suffer. These are the ones who surround us. I like to think of this cloud of witnesses as being our church family too. Someone said to me one time, why belong to a church? There's one of the greatest reasons. Because God builds around each one of us in our needs, in the journey of life, a great cloud of witnesses. You know, I talked about visiting some people yesterday. It's amazing to me how people can talk about the church and about the church family, about First Baptist Church, about being a part of Genesis, about belonging, and all those things. But nobody ever talks about it with greater significance than when they are going through stuff. It's like family. Now, let's just be honest with each other, folks. There's nothing that can take the place of family and friends. When it all comes down to it, I can have all kinds of things, do all kinds of things, accomplish all kinds of things. The bottom line is my faith in Jesus Christ and my family of faith and my own blood family. That's where it comes down to it. It's you, it's us, it's the friendship. It's the one who holds hands with me. It's my 2 a.m. friend. Just to have somebody like that in addition to your husband and your family, and those things are so deep. This is the crowd of witnesses. And this great cloud of witnesses does two things for us. This is what I want to put on the table today. The great cloud of witness, first of all, allows us three things. Number one, to know what it is that they went through. So I went back into chapter 11 and I just began to think about this list of people. I want you to think about it. Abel. Abel suffered. In fact, he suffered greatly. He was beaten to death by his own brother. Noah, I'm just selecting a few. Noah, he suffered greatly. Do you know how long he was mocked and reviled by those people out there who thought he was a goose egg? Because he was doing what God told him to do? Let's pick another one. What about Abraham? Abraham, we all know about Abraham. Can you imagine how much Abraham suffered by being obedient to God and being prepared? Can you imagine the journey of taking his only son up the hill, tying him up and contemplating killing his only son? I can't conceive the suffering of something like that. What about Jacob? Jacob suffered greatly because his son was abducted. We get Amber Alerts all the time, don't we? This man got an Amber Alert for a long time. His son Joseph, boom, just like that. He didn't even know what happened to him. He got sold into slavery. He got shipped to another country. He was abducted. You talk about human trafficking, Joseph. Can you imagine that father's heart? How he suffered, and he was a righteous man. What about Joseph himself? Joseph suffered. He was falsely accused. He was accused of rape. Never did it. You know how Joseph suffered? He was separated from his family. Do you know how Joseph suffered? He was thrown in prison. Let's go. What about Moses? I often think about Moses. I tell you, Moses suffered, folks. I think one of the greatest ways he suffered was just by the relentless grumbling of the people that he was leading. I mean, could those Israelites grumble? God said, "You hungry?" "Yeah, we're hungry." He sent them dinner. They grumbled about it. God said, "Listen, man, all of you going to get killed in battle." They said, "Please don't kill us." God said, "Okay, I'll deliver you to the other." They grumbled. They got even trapped on this side of the sea, and the Egyptian army was coming. And so God used Moses and delivered them to the other side. They grumbled. Well, Moses suffered. He did everything he could to love on those people, lead them, show them God's grace, but they grumbled. What about Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute. Say, wait a minute, how could she have suffered? I think every prostitute suffers. I think Rahab had such a hurting heart. And it wasn't only while she was engaged in her profession. It was after she was delivered. You know, you can suffer from the burden of something that you live with. What about Samson? Oh, Samson, big old tough dude, you know? He suffered, man. Yeah, he suffered because he got a haircut. As I look around, some of us need to suffer a little ourselves. But I tell you, it went further than that. He suffered. He got taken into captivity. He got put into prison. Do you know that he suffered because he was betrayed by the one that he loved? What about David? David suffered. David suffered because of the pain of his unfaithfulness and his adultery. Adultery doesn't bring joy, not even to a Christian. It might bring a moment of satisfaction, and after that, here comes the pain. Guaranteed. So we could go on. So what does this great cloud of witnesses allow us to do? It allows us to know what others have gone through. This great cloud of witnesses allows us to know, it allows us to see, it allows us, it's an invitation for us to walk in their shoes. I want you to know that I want to walk in your shoes, my friend. You're not alone. That's my privilege, to be part of this cloud of witnesses. It allows us to understand Christian response to suffering. Yeah, this great cloud of witnesses. I'm a Christian man. I'm not just looking at medicine, and I'm not just looking at a handshake, and I'm not just looking at a new therapy. I want God to speak to me. So this great cloud of witnesses allows us to know and to see and to understand. But this great cloud of witnesses encourages us. And by the way, this passage gives us 4 points of encouragement. Let me just drop them on you. Number one, encourages us to throw off. That's what the Bible tells us right here in this passage in verse 1. It tells us to lay aside every weight. By the way, that's an athletic illustration there. Now, I'm going to tell some of you something that might shock some of you. I just apologize right now. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You know, back in this time, athletes kind of athleticked naked. They did. And this picture here is a real picture that the writer's talking about. And what athletes were encouraged to do, both the gladiators who were facing life and death situations and those who were in the arenas, who were running races, going all the way back to Olympus and to the early Olympic Games, they were encouraged to shed, to take off any encumbrance. That's what he's telling us. He's saying to us, I want you to be encouraged to lay aside the burden of that which holds you down. Because suffering is a burden. It people who suffer are crushed. They crushed. They weep. They down. They taken so low to the ground. They don't know what to do. Life all of a sudden loses its meaning. The sun begins to go down, and they're encumbered, and they crushed, and they have this burden. And this great cloud of witnesses, because of Christ, encourages such a person to lay it aside. How? because of him.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he's got so much more insight, biblical insight, on a Christian's response to suffering coming up in just a moment. But it could be that you're at a place where you need to speak with someone or pray with someone. We're here at 866-899-WORD right now and would love to speak with you and pray with you. That's 866-899-9673. And anytime, day or night, it'll route to one of us ready to talk, to listen, to pray, maybe connect you with resources that'll help you grow. I pray you jot it down, 866-899-9673, or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, at our website, theencouragingword.org. That's the place to find everything from our social media connections to resources, books, and so much more from Dr. Don Wilton. And also an insight as to where you can watch The Encouraging Word. You can watch it right there online, theencouragingword.org, but also along with folks around the world. It's a global audience tonight at 6:30. That's 6:30 Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, an opportunity to see and hear God's Word brought to life by Dr. Don Wilton, our pastor. That's every Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I hope you'll join us and perhaps encourage some of your friends to join us as well. Now back to today's message, A Christian Response to Suffering with Dr. Don Wilton.
And this great cloud of witnesses, because of Christ, encourages such a person to lay it aside. How? Because of him. Not going to do that outside. That's a Christian response. Number two, to run with. Not just to throw off, but to run with. Look at the next thing there. He said, I want you to not only lay aside, but let us run with endurance. Here again, this is this, that. That word there, you can see it in slow motion. And what the writer is saying is, listen, there's a goal there. There's the finish line. Look at Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I want you to run. I want you to lift your head up. I want you to take a deep breath of fresh air. I want you to have a renewed energy that comes by the power and presence of God by His Spirit in the inner person. And I, the Lord your God, I am going to give that to you. I'm going to give that to you. It's so precious when you're around someone who's suffering and you go to them and you say, how are you feeling? And you know what you're asking, and they look at you and say, oh, you know, I just feel so much better today. That's a sweet word, isn't it? I want you to throw off. I want you to run with perseverance. By the way, the word endurance there, it is so meaningful because it means a steady determination to keep on going regardless. Regardless. But there's a third one there, to throw off, to run with, and to fix on. Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, fix on. That little word fix on means like you zeroing in, that your eyes are looking at Jesus. Fix on. It means to just take hold of. I've been so interested in this space thing this last week. Can you imagine some spacecraft flying for 10 years for billions of miles and then landing on a comet, on a piece of rock that's hurtling through space? And as I've been watching that on television unfold, here's this little dot coming down, landing after 10 years of flying through space, through billions and billions of miles, has landed. And I heard them say the other day on the news, the big issue right now is that they've got to get this little tiny speck, this little instrument, they've got to get it to fasten itself on that comet. Because if it doesn't fasten itself on that comet, the spin of that comet could throw it off. That's what suffering does. Suffering is the spin of pain, and it turns, and sometimes people suffer so much that spins. People go to the doctor and they come away and it's not good news, it's worse news. And the headache doesn't get less, it gets more. And the diagnosis is not, it's just, and what he's saying here, listen, fix on. He said, fix on, become glued to, because if you don't, the spinning turn of your suffering is going to throw you off back into outer space again. The only way you stay glued is when you fix on. And then finally, to stand strong. It's what he says in verse 3. Don't grow weary. Don't be faint-hearted. Stand strong because of Jesus. The Ebola crisis broke out in West Africa. One of the people who were there was Dr. Kent Brantley. And on July 20th, Dr. Brantley sent his family back home. He was treating Ebola patients. He was part of one of the greatest organizations in the world, Samaritan's Purse, out of Boone, North Carolina. And within 3 days of sending his family back to the United States, Dr. Brantley started to feel sick. And being a qualified physician, Dr. Brantley very quickly realized that he had contracted the Ebola virus. And watch me, folks, that's deadly. That's a death sentence. And all he was doing was trying to help people. He was there with Nancy Reitbol, these great heroes of ours. And he went down so quickly, I mean, just like that. And so Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, and that incredible team began to make inquiries. They wanted to get a plane to fly him back. There was no plane. Nobody would fly to Liberia to pick up somebody with a disease like that. Finally, they managed to locate a plane. And he was so sick, they were saying, Dr. Brantley is going to die tonight. He was vomiting and heaving, and he was at death's doorstep, and the clock was ticking. The clock was ticking. The clock was ticking. And they finally found this plane, and they got everybody ready at Emory University, an incredible group of medical professionals. And the plane took off to go to Liberia. And no sooner had it hit the airwaves than it developed a problem, and the plane had to turn around and come back to the United States. And the clock was ticking. If they didn't get Dr. Brantley out there within a few hours, he would be dead. And they had an experimental drug that had never been used. And they said, Dr. Brantley, we've got to give this drug to you. He said, no, I'm not going to take that. You need to give that to my friend. She needs it. They said, you're going to die. And they only had one experimental drug, and people everywhere began to pray for them. Finally, they launched this plane, but they knew it was going to be too late. That plane began to fly over the Atlantic Ocean toward Liberia. And Dr. Brantley was so sick, he was at death's doorstep. And finally, whether or not he was able to even respond, they decided to split this experimental drug into two. And so they would give it to this other lady, and they would give him part of it. And medically, you can get into all the background, but they would have to give it to him by infusion and then wait a number of hours, then give him another part of it, wait a number of hours, then give him another part, never been used before. And so finally, they talked Dr. Brantley into having this, even though he probably could hardly even respond right now. And they put into his veins the first part of an experimental drug that had never been used. And when it went into his veins, Dr. Brantley, lying critically sick in Liberia, went into death-defying convulsions. He began to shake. His body began to disintegrate. And he began to die on the spot. They immediately called the CDC and the people that had got together that experimental drug right here in the United States. And the doctors who had been involved said, no, wait a minute, those convulsions are the antibodies. They're kicking in there. This is an army that we've sent in there. This army's kicking against this virus. And within an hour and a half of that first experimental part of that drug, Dr. Brantley got out of that bed and went to the bathroom on his own. And that plane landed in Liberia. Some hours later, picked him up. We all watched it on the news. People covered in everything. He's brought back to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, where he lay critically sick, and through the brilliance of people, he was finally cured. And when Dr. Brantley was cured of that virus, he began going around this country and around the world saying, you've heard him, I've heard him, thank God for my suffering. And if it weren't for the incredible faithfulness of God's people who prayed for me, this cloud of witnesses He didn't use those terms. If it weren't for thousands upon thousands of believers all around the world, I don't believe I'd be where I am today. I thank God for medical professionals. I thank God for friends like Nancy Wright-Bold. And I thank God for Samaritan's Purse. But I thank God most of all that even in the midst of my pain and my suffering, God has given me a Christian response. And what I want to do today is to say, only to God be the glory. Only to God be the glory. Precious friends, today I want to pray with you.
We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Perhaps you're in a situation where you need someone to pray with you through the suffering that you're in right now. Know that we'd be happy to do that. We stand ready to take your calls, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I hope you'll jot it down and know that we'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you any time of day or night. We also would love to connect with you on our website, theencouragingword.org. And as we connect you with resources to deepen our understanding of God's Word and understand how to respond in suffering in and around us, there's also a critical element that's really the most important thing, and Dr. Don has a word about that next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord's spoken to you and God's done something in your life, let us know. Let us pray with you. The number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And speaking of the encouraging word, many of you have become what we call encouragers. As you've stepped up to support the ministry, both prayerfully and financially, you need to know we're indeed grateful. What does it mean to become an encourager? Here's Dr. Don with more.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.